Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
All right. Well, welcome to another edition of The Drift on a snowy Saturday. Derek, I'm going to have to rely on you that everything's running good and that the sounds are all right. I'm calling in from Ice Station Zebra on Skype. Does it sound good? Okay. So the big news this week was obviously the budget deal. And, you know, love it or hate it, it's a fact. It will probably, some form of it will pass the Senate because there's enough support, I think, from the Democrats to do so. But right now, the Senate is saying, Senate Republicans anyways, are saying no. So we're going to get into that in a little depth today. Congressman Tim Walberg is going to call in. Now, we'll be talking to Tim shortly. But in the meantime, let's take care of some business. Our sponsor this half hour is Pawn to You. Are you paying high interest rates on your credit card debt? Are you having a hard time making those monthly payments? If so, then you should give the guys at Pawn2You a call. They specialize in collateralized personal and business loans. They can come to your home or business, giving you all the privacy you need. And you can reach them at pawnloans@yahoo.com or call 734-389-5228. That's 734-389-5228. Or go to www.pawn2you.com. Now, in this kind of environment, and things are probably only going to get worse with Obamacare hitting, you may run into those problems and may have some need for fast cash. Pawn2you can take care of that by getting you a line of some cash for without credit checks and all the normal rigmarole that you'll go through with a bank. So, Pawn2you, 734-389-5228. Or email them, pawnloans@yahoo.com. So, you know, snowed in today. We decided to try Skyping in, and it seems to be working. Derek, any problems so far? Okay, well, maybe not. Oh, okay, well, we're not going to be able to do it then. So what we'll have to do is reschedule with Tim and try something else. But in the meantime, I guess we're on, though, right? Derek? We're in. You know what? I think we're having such technical difficulty, we may have to run the best of. Are we going to be able to do that? Okay. Well, in the meantime, let's keep rolling, shall we? So the Senate is saying, and that's Mitch McConnell, that's Marco Rubio, are saying they can't support the bill as passed in the House because of a number of reasons. It takes away about $65 million, I think, of the $85 million the sequester automatic cuts put in. And like those sequester cuts or not, it has made a difference. I think people in this country thought that the sky would fall with the sequester taking place, and lo and behold, it did not. Things seem to be working fairly well, and people are not being without flight data, or the FAA hasn't turned off. You know, everything seems to be working all right. But Paul Ryan and Patty Murray sat down for the last 6 weeks, I think, and hammered out this plan which reduces the cuts from the sequester by about $65 million now. Not everybody is going to like that. I know a lot of Tea Party conservatives, a lot of right-wing conservatives from the Republican Party are up in arms about it. And me, for myself, I was initially as well, because it does seem like we've taken a step back. It seems like we've done some damage to the cuts which were very minor to begin with. But in the end, we have to look at what we can get. I mean, In the House, even though the Republicans control the House, we've repealed Obamacare, I think, near 40 times. It doesn't pass the Senate. It'll never pass Barack Obama, who will veto any such thing. And we're playing the same game with the budget. Whatever budget we come up with will not get passed by the Senate, will not make it past a veto of the presidency. That being the case, what do you do? Do you shut the government down like we tried with this last budget deal before the debt ceilings took effect? What happens is the Democrats say no, the media picks up on it, blames the Republicans, and all that happens is the Republicans get a black eye out of it. Now, you can say that's unfair, and it is, but the media is controlled by the left, the mainstream media, the mass media, and that's what people pay attention to. Not everyone's listening to talk radio. The low-information voters who voted for Obama the last two elections are not the type of people who listen to talk radio. They're not getting the education and the information that they need. So what happens? They listen to the sound bites on mainstream media, and they blame the Republicans for it. So you can understand why John Boehner and Paul Ryan, and you can't say Paul Ryan is not a conservative. He is a very conservative man. He knows what needs to happen. However, what do you do? Do you take another fall and get the Republicans in trouble for the next election? 2014 is around the corner. We're already in it, folks. If you haven't figured it out, we're less than 12 months away from that 2014 election. The Republicans have to find a way to get those voters out there. And another government shutdown, January 15th was the deadline, will do nothing but hurt the Republicans. Now, I'm one of those guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Tea Party member. I'm a Tea Party guy. I know that if we continue spending at the rate we are spending, we will be in huge trouble as a country 24 months, 36 months, however long it takes. I mean, we can only continue spending what we don't have for so long. And even a great country like the United States cannot continue to do this. But what do? You get the best deal you can that will pass both houses and make it through the presidential veto process. Paul Ryan and John Boehner have got themselves over a barrel. There's nothing they can do. I'm sure they both would admit, at least behind closed doors, that it's not the deal they want. They know that it's not going to save this country. The problem is, what else can you do? You can't shut down the government. That's just not going to work, not this time around. And you have to settle for something less. In the end, what it comes down to, and I've been saying this on Facebook all week, if you haven't been Facebooking me, friend me on Facebook. I get all kinds of good information. Go there and read. And we get information from Tim Walberg all the time. Tim supported this. I'm sure he's taking a raft of grief from our tea parties and from our conservatives who disagree. And again, if you want to stand on principle, if you want to hold that line, that's great. But in the end, it amounts to another shutdown, and we're shooting ourselves in the foot. The people to blame here is us, the American voter. We're the ones who refused, absolutely refused, to put a new president in. Barack Obama was reelected by a pretty good margin. We're the ones who refused to give the Republicans control of the Senate. Without veto-proof majorities in the Senate and in Congress, you can't do anything against Barack Obama until he's out of office. And so what you end up with is less than perfect, maybe not even wanted legislation. If you'd like to call in, 734-822-1600, love to have you call in. Give me your opinion. I know there's going to be people on both sides of this issue, but there's not a whole lot we can do about that. Derek, can we run into a break? All right, we're going to take a break, and we want your phone call. Let us know, 734-822-1600. Call in, give me your opinion on this, and we'll go from there.
It's time for America's Vital Signs with Dr. Dave Janda, your weapon of mass instruction.
In 2009, I was invited to be the keynote speaker for a congressional dinner in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol Building. My presentation was on healthcare reform and specifically my analysis of Obamacare. My conclusions were Obamacare would not increase the access to care, would not reduce costs, and would not lead to more quality-oriented care. In fact, my analysis revealed care would be rationed, costs would significantly increase, and quality of care would drastically decrease. My conclusions were based on the fact that Obamacare is based on the rationing of care and on punishing those not willing to go along with the system. This week it was announced, 4 years after my speech, that millions of Americans will lose their current insurance, cost of health care will go up close to 100%, and those not participating in Obamacare will be fined and punished by the Department of Health and Human Services, which has hired 86 criminal investigators to target consumers, providers, and companies that do not follow Obamacare's rules. Isn't hope and change great? Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, your weapon of mass instruction here exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600.
This freedom and liberty message was made possible by the best-selling book, The Awakening of a Surgeon, written by Dr. Janda, a book featured on The Oprah Winfrey Show and The Glenn Beck Show. The book instructs you how to take control of your health and how to take back your healthcare freedom. Available online at Amazon.com and NoInjury.com. Get your copy today.
Hello, WHAM listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on WHAM Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to WHAM Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Trenton, New Jersey to Monterey, California, Toledo to Ishpeming, WHAM Talk 1600 is there, online and streaming live. whamradio.com. You're listening to The Drift on WHAM Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
All right, and welcome back through a snowy Saturday and trying something new today. It seems to be working. We're Skyping in from the basement bunker with the snowstorm. That's the one thing that happens when you have a small, fuel-efficient car. It doesn't really get over those multiple inches of snow that we seem to get. And I've already been out shoveling several times today, trying to get out and down the street, and cannot do it. It makes me want to go back, Derek, and get one of those four-wheel drives with the lift kit and the whole nine yards. I used to be that kind of a guy, but we can't do that anymore. What are you driving, Derek? You're doing the Explorer, right?
Yeah, I've been driving an old Explorer, 2000 Ford Explorer. Yeah, it does a pretty good job getting through the snow. It's got four wheel drive, so I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah. Now, how are the streets down in Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor area? Are they all right?
I haven't really been outside much today, but when I was outside, I just took a quick peek about an hour ago, and it said, and it was still snowing pretty good.
Right. Yeah, well, it's supposed to go through till tonight, and unfortunately, it's going to put the kibosh on a number of things for a number of people. So, one of those things. But it's a shame. We Congressman Tim texted me and said he really wanted to interview with us, and that's a shame we couldn't quite work out the bugs in our system. But we'll manage it. It gives us something to look at and work on for the future. But Tim, I know Tim's thinking is quite a bit along the same lines of mine. This is not an easy thing to do. It's a bitter pill to swallow, and none of us really want to have to do this, but I think in the end we have no choice. We have to do this. And like I said, bitter pill, it doesn't get any more appropriate than that, because those of us who have worked so hard, those of us who wanted to see that the sequester cuts go through, because we knew. I mean, we knew it was the only way you're going to force government to stop spending. Now, the Democrats, Rubio, McConnell, Lindsey Graham, are all against it, or the Republicans in the Senate are all against it. So far, that doesn't mean something may change. There could be something going into conference, and I would expect that to happen. You're noticing right now that one of the complaints is that Republican senators are saying part of the deal includes a 1% cut to the cost of living increase for our veterans. Now, the first thing that struck me was, oh my God, you can't be taking this out on the veterans, okay? Because, number one, we shouldn't be. That's not right. None of us should be trying to take anything away from those veterans who have worked so hard to fight for this country, who have lost limbs for this country, for their families who may have lost soldiers in this country. But the thing to remember, again, is in the small details. It's a 1% cut to the cost of living. And this cuts both ways. Over the next 10 years, if it stays as is, it would be a like an $80,000 pay cut over 10-year period for veterans. Now, is that a lot of money? Seems like a lot of money. But we all know one thing will happen, because this happens all the time. It will change. If it doesn't happen, this change doesn't happen in conference before the Senate votes on it, it will happen shortly thereafter. Later on this year, there will be an appropriation made that will restore those. And that's what it comes down to. Whenever you see one of these deals cut and they talk about savings over a 10-year period, what that essentially means is there are no savings at all. Because any savings that you're going to get in 10 years will be offset by an appropriation or further legislation probably within months of the passing of whatever it is they're talking about, in this case, the budget deal. You know, for the 2 years, big picture is we're getting screwed as an American public. The spending will continue. The debts will continue to rise. We're going to be looking at a $20 trillion debt probably within 24 months, if not sooner. And you can go to Wham or thedailydrift.com, whamradio.com, and you can see the little ticker of what our national debt is. Now, bear in mind, it's over $17 trillion, but that doesn't include the trillions and trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities for pensions and everything else, Medicare, Social Security, the whole nine yards. It's truly up around $80 trillion or so. But it's not realistic. And we also heard this week on Glenn Beck and some other talk shows that a few legislators had talked about convening, and they did at Mount Vernon. And what they did was they talked about how to do an amendment for a balanced budget. I think we all need to know that a balanced budget is what you do in your home. It's what you do in your business. You don't continually spend what you don't have. Now, a startup business may incur costs, and I think, you know, the average businessman knows you may not make money for 3 years in a new business, and so you plan for that. But the United States is not planning for that. The United States is spending willy-nilly on a regular basis, day in, day out. You know, 40 cents of every dollar is being stuck on a credit card. And we can't continue to do this. So when you hear Paul Ryan say there are savings in this package over a 10-year time span, it's not there. I mean, for him, he's probably thinking we can fix this given next year if we can get a Republican-led Senate, we can get a Republican House, and maybe a Republican president in 2016. Maybe we can reverse it and do a balanced budget then. And I guess that's the way we have to look at it, because you know what? In the end, until the voters make the decision that enough is enough, that we're not going to spend this kind of money, and they decide to vote for people who believe in this, what else can you do? I hate to be the guy who's protecting those Republicans who went along with this, but you know what? I have to. because I'm putting myself in their shoes. They have no choice but to come up with something, because the black eye Republicans will get out of another government shutdown will ruin any possibilities for 2014. I think we all have to look at that way. I wish we could get calls. We still can't get calls in, right, Derek?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so sorry, folks. What you can do is email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, and I can read your comments on the mail, on the air, and figure it out from there. But this is something we all have to deal with. And the only way to do that is to find that moderate standpoint. I guess for me, I'm a financially speaking, fiscally speaking, I'm a conservative, probably one of the most conservative people you would ever meet. And so it from an ideological standpoint, I am offended by this two-year budget. But the common sense, and I always try to live my life, and that's why I named this radio show The Drift Common Sense Radio, because you have to use a little common sense. And in this issue, we don't have a whole lot of choice. We don't control the Senate. We don't control the presidency. So what do you do if you're John Boehner? What do you do if you're Paul Ryan? Paul gets assigned the job to go in and work with Patty Murray, one of the uber liberals, and has to hammer out some kind of a deal. And did they have to go for 2 years? I guess so. Derek, we have a track. And let's just see how tough it is for those Republicans. Do we have that first track, Derek?
Yep, I've got it ready.
Let's play it. This is how tough it is. This is David Stockman, I think, from Rick Santelli's show, talking about the budget deal.
Well, first, let's be clear. It's a joke and a betrayal. It's the final surrender of the House Republican leadership to beltway politics and to kicking the can and ignoring this budget monster that's hurtling down the road. They're busting the caps, and it's totally unnecessary. It's going to add $70 billion to spending this year and next year, and then they're going to pretend to save it in 22 and 23, way, way down the road. They've not only kicked the can down the road, they've kicked it into low Earth orbit.
Okay.
All right. So right off the bat, it tells you there's some anger out there for this to come across. And I think Rick Santelli was one of the original guys who was involved with getting the Tea Party off the ground and whatnot. So obviously people feel incredibly strongly about this bill. You're seeing a lot of people. Go ahead. Derek, is that you?
Nope. I wasn't saying anything. Sorry about that.
Okay, so people feel strongly about it one way or the other. And you just have to find a way to deal with it. I mean, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with anything that the United States government is doing at this point. But what do you really do? You just have to bear through it. Now, another Republican was bashing John Boehner, because here's what happened. It's putting a divide in the Republican Party. Now, people say the Republicans don't have a big enough tent. And I've always kind of thought, well, maybe they don't. But the very fact that we've got this kind of a dichotomy going on within the Republican Party tells me that, you know what, the Republicans do have a pretty large tent. And a large tent is hard to manage. I mean, you will never get a libertarian who believes in freedom of just about everything to sit down and agree with a right-to-lifer. Now, here you've got conservatives, financial conservatives anyways, under the same tent. But that one item alone will never allow a libertarian and a right-to-life conservative to agree, possibly on a candidate. How are you going to pick a Republican presidential candidate who can satisfy a libertarian and who can yet also satisfy a right-to-life who believes, hey, no abortions under any circumstances, and yet a libertarian who says, stay out of my life completely? It's one of those tough things, and the Republican Party is going to have to find a way to deal with this. So as we run into the break, we're going to continue this discussion, but I want you to think about it and email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, with your comments, and I'll read them on the air, because I know this is probably touching a lot of people's emotions with this. So we'll see you on the other side.
always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. A snowstorm snarling travel plans for a lot of flyers in the northern part of the country. One of the airports reporting delays and cancellations is Chicago's O'Hare, which is ready to move ahead with its passenger assistance program.
Setting up cots, providing blankets, pillows, toothpaste, toothbrushes, and some coupons possibly for concessionaires, to get some sort of discount.
Chicago's Department of Aviation spokesperson Karen Pride. 15-year-old girl is in critical condition after being shot by a gunman at a Denver area high school. One student recalls hiding from Carl Pearson, who later killed himself.
Authorities say the 15-year-old girl shot Friday is still in critical condition today. They also say the alleged shooter was 18-year-old Carl Pearson. They say Pearson burst into Arapahoe High School with a shotgun.
Fox's Will Carr, Fox News. We report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Does your business's website stand out? Does it catch an eye or two? At Waypoint Arts, we design and develop each project from scratch with an original and unique flair. If you're looking for a web design service that specializes in delivering the wow effect to your guests, then let us get started on your project today. Need a design for a poster or flyer? We can help. Visit us online at waypointarts.com or drop us a line at 855-WAY-ARTS. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Okay, well, we're back. And thanks for tuning in to catch my drift this Saturday, snowy Saturday afternoon. Broadcasting from home, we're doing a little experiment here. Couldn't quite make it in through the depth of the snow out here in Whitmore Lake. And your comments, though, are welcome, Gary at thedailydrift.com. And what we do at thedailydrift.com every day, I put the news you need to know, which is stuff you won't see on mainstream media, channels 247, or even Fox. I scour the globe through all the different websites and try to pick those ones that you really should know about to stay informed as a voter, because the elections are important. And the 2014 is right around the hill, right around the corner here, so we need to make sure we're ready for that. Our sponsor this half hour is AAA Service Network. Now, if you have furnace problems or heating problems or boiler problems, AAA Service Network is the company you should be working with. You can reach them at 1-800-FIX-IT-NOW.com, or they have a Brighton office, 810-227-1050. That's 810-227-1050. And there's several other offices available. There's an Ann Arbor office, 734-663-6200. But they've got a lot of coupons in the current this month, the December current. You can see the December current at currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Furnace filter coupons, boiler repair coupons, lots of good deals. Ed Kopp, who owns AAA Service, knows that you've got problems, and he can solve them for you, and he works really hard to work with you. So give them a call. That's AAA Service Network. All right, so back to the budget this year. The two-year budget passed by the House, a bitter pill, to say the least. Marco Rubio actually did a Breitbart editorial, and you can catch that at thedailydrift.com, and he talks about it threatening the American dream. Now, is that a stretch? I don't know. Is it any more of a stretch than the budgets we've had for the last 5 years threatening the American dream? The American dream is already in trouble. Our children will not have the opportunities that those of us who are 40 plus had in the past. I mean, even our 30-year-olds are finding themselves living on mom and dad's couch or in their old bedroom because they don't have jobs. They may have graduated college. They probably have student loans up the wang. What are they going to do? They have to come across to get a job, but they're not going to get it in this economy. And with Obamacare doing what it's doing, it's certainly taking this minor, you can't even call it a recovery, making this minor recovery very unpalatable. I heard on the news not more than a week ago that some economic experts are saying we're already going to be reaching the end of this recovery, as weak as it has been, and that we're going to go into another downturn possibly before the next election. Now, if that happens, what is going to happen to those of us who just started getting back to work? Are they going to lose their jobs? Are we going to have those giant 10, 11% unemployment rates again? I don't know. But certainly Washington is not taking seriously the effects of having this debt that's crushing the economy. I mean, just borrowing money like that the way they do makes it harder for businesses, upstart businesses, to get money. And I don't think people understand the way that works. Frankly, it all comes down to marketing, and the Republicans, I don't think, are marketing anything. The Democrats, unfortunately, don't have to do a lot of marketing. They seem to have a good message. It plays well with the media, and it plays well with the average low-information voter. Nancy Pelosi this week put her foot in her mouth again. I'm always fond of calling Joe Biden foot-in-mouth Joe, but Nancy Pelosi is pretty hard to beat. Now, we all remember when Obamacare passed, she said, we have to pass this bill in order to see what's in it. Well, boy, how apropos that turned out to be. I think only now are we seeing what's in the bill and how bad it's hurting the healthcare system. And in fact, we're going to get into that in a little bit. But over this budget deal, Nancy had a meeting with a number of Democrats. And on Thursday morning, she told these Democrats that they need to embrace the suck. Now, I laughed for probably 5 minutes when I read this article, and you can see this at thedailydrift.com. It's a political article, and she told her members that, yes, they don't like it. They don't like the fact that unemployment didn't get passed and included in this bill, and that there wasn't more spending in the bill because, of course, as a Democrat, she believes in big government, believes in continual spending. But for her to say this, because that's, it should be the trademark for all of Washington at this point. Embrace the suck. What they're telling the American people is, we can't do any better. We cannot do things that will please everybody. Well, of course you can't. You can't please everybody. What you need to do is get back to the basics. And the federal government needs to realize spending what you take in is all you should be spending. And they don't seem to want to do that. They want to just keep spending. And this last, what's the word I'm looking for, Derek? This last video that we just heard from showed how angry people are about it. This deal does suck, but I don't think we can get any better with it. And that's why Nancy Pelosi is saying, just embrace the suck. They've resigned themselves in Washington to not make a hard choice. Now, Derek, we've got track two, which is David Stockman again. It's continuing that. Do you have that ready?
Yep.
Let's play that, because he tells us at this point what we can do, or should have been able to do, if we had enough voting Republicans to overturn these things. Let's go with that.
It's unjustified. Let's look at what they've done. Defense with the sequester is $600 billion of outlays. We can easily live with that. Prior to the, you know, Bush wars and invasions, we had $400 billion in defense spending in today's real dollars. 50% more and they can't live with it? Do we have any new industrial state enemies in the world? No. Are there greater threats in the world? No. Have we been fired as the world's policeman? Yes. So why can't they allow the defense sequester to happen? They should. The House side. If we let the sequester happen and not bust it as they did, $580 billion of domestic discretionary spending. Bill Clinton left with $400 billion in today's dollars. He wasn't starving Head Start or the National Health Institute and all the rest. There's plenty of room, but they're unwilling to make the tough choices. Now, I understand Democrats doing that. The only hope of getting our fiscal situation under control is if the House Republicans stand up and they've totally capitulated. And I think it is going to trigger an enormous negative reaction from the Tea Party Republicans, who ought to go after every incumbent Republican who votes for this abomination.
All right. Thanks, Derek. So as you can see, there were things that could be done. The problem is, you don't have the votes in the House or the Senate to do those. It's that simple. So before you beat up on the Republicans who did vote for this, you got to give them a little common sense. I mean, nobody is more aggravated about this than I am, because you know what? I'm not a big government guy. I hate paying taxes. And I think a lot of us feel that way. We're Tea Party guys. We do what we do here at WHAM. We do what we do at The Current because we hate big government. We hate this overspending. But you, at some point, the American people have to fess up. It's the responsibility of us as voters. And you know, I hate to say it, we are like a bunch of crack addicts with the spending. And part of this immigration amnesty that they keep talking about, and that's probably coming down the pipe this year before the election, is the fact that the Democrats want to get more voters in, voters who will jump on the dole, who will vote for them and give them power in exchange for something. Be it food stamps, be it Obamacare, be it Medicaid, be it other subsidies from some sort or another. The United States government needs to get out of the subsidy business, whether it's for people, poor people, or big business, because there's a lot of that going on too. All these solar power companies going out of business, these green companies going out of business, part of that is subsidies. We're just giving money away to people. And when you do that, they turn around and vote for you, so, or give you money to let you run to vote. But another story until that's all over. Let's talk about Obamacare. Another fiasco this week. Obamacare will be forcing a 14% cut in Medicare's home health care program. So seniors and handicapped people, beware. What this means is those of you who use home health care, people to come in so that you can stay in your home. A lot of people don't, you know, that's the new paradigm. Keep people in their homes. Don't send them to care facilities. Let them stay in their homes as long as they can because, number one, it's cheaper. But those people that do need help in the home, and that's called the home health care industry. And that's either done privately or it can be done through Medicaid or Medicare, I think is what the older people get. Well, Obamacare is going to force a 14% cut. An estimated 3.5 million poor and ill homebound senior citizens will wake up on New Year's Day to discover Obamacare has slashed the funding to their home health care programs. It'll happen because the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services quietly issued a regulation on November 22nd announcing the 14% cut over the next 4 years in funding for the home health care prospective payment program. The rule cuts Medicare payments to home health care providers by 3.5% each year, beginning in 2014. So there you go. If you're a person on Medicare and you've been getting these services, you're going to see a 3.5% cut. Okay, may not seem like a lot, but over that number of years, it's going to amount to 14%, which is pretty huge. Now, for those people who are on budgets, and a lot of our seniors are, I mean, they either didn't prepare, or they got stung by the Bernie Madoffs of the world, or they're just out living. You know, who would have thought that we would be living to the ages we are nowadays? That's a problem. The program puts health care in the homes of seniors suffering from acute or chronic afflictions or who are in need of rehabilitation therapy. And that happens after a hip replacement or other such surgeries. By CMS's own calculation, 40% of the nearly 5,000 home health care companies in the country, mainly small businesses, will experience a net loss in revenue due to the cuts and go into the red by 2017. So here we see the destruction of another industry in this country. I mean, it was bad enough here in Michigan. The unions wanted to unionize all our home health care workers without their permission and force them to be paid more. And that would have put us out of business. Thank goodness the Republican legislature here in Michigan managed to get rid of that. Not without a lot of work and a lot of money being stolen from those people, but another story again unto its own. The National Association for Home Care and Hospice calculates the losses will be much more severe, affecting 75% of all home health care companies. So that's important. Again, you're looking at the possible destruction of another industry due to Obamacare. Nearly 500,000 skilled home care workers are also projected to lose their jobs over the next 4 years due to these cuts. Now, that's 500,000. 500,000 people. What will that do to our economy with another 500,000 people out of work? In November 2013 study by Avalere Health, a Washington, D.C. healthcare business analyst firm, found that 2 out of 3 home health care recipients fall at or below the federal poverty line, which means they're on Medicare or Medicaid. The study also estimated that 1 in 4 seniors getting home health care are age 85 or older. And again, that goes to the fact that we're living much longer than we ever planned for, financially speaking. So, Derek, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Obamacare and some of the numbers that the news is not reporting. We'll see you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Time to get ready for the 2014 Michigan Tour de Cure for the American Diabetes Association. Enjoy a beautiful day of riding on Saturday, June 7th in Ann Arbor at the Tour de Cure, one of the American Diabetes Association's signature fundraising events. With over 200 volunteers taking care of your day of event needs, you are sure to enjoy an excellent day of riding on one of the road routes ranging from 10 to 100 miles. The Tour de Cure starts and finishes at Washtenaw Community College. A minimum goal of $200 in fundraising is required per rider, and all funds go to support research, education, and advocacy for all types of diabetes. Ride for an excellent cause and help to stop diabetes in Michigan. For more information, visit diabetes.org/Michigan Tour de Cure or call 248-433-3830, extension 6694. Teens using drugs, what to know and what to do is a free ongoing two-part series. Part one provides information on how to recognize and understand adolescent substance abuse. Part two provides information on what should and should not be done to help when a teen substance abuse problem is recognized, and concludes with a short talk by a young person in recovery. All presentations are free and open to the public. To learn more, call 734-973-7892 or visit teensusingdrugs.org. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper newspaper for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. Send the Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Okay, well, there we go. Well, thanks, Derek. You texted me. I said Bernie Madoff last segment. It was Bernie Madoff. Yes, my apologies for that. I got a good laugh out of it, though. So it's working. You can jump in, Derek, and correct me anytime I make that mistake. You know, Drake, if we were here, would do that. So we're talking about Obamacare. And again, if you have something you want to say, you can text or email me, Gary@thedailydrift.com, and I'll read your comments on the air if you want me to, or just talk about them if you want me to. But the Obama administration is still kind of has got its hold on the media, and so you're not hearing all the numbers. They're kind of fudging stuff out about the numbers that have people that have enrolled and registered. But here's some items that you're not getting reported. Obamacare right now is at less than 30% of its stated goal. Let's start with the number of enrollees the White House predicted they'd have by now. 1.2 million is what they thought they would have by now. And even using the administration's juiced up numbers of 364,000 enrollees, that's only 30% of the goal. The thing to remember, out of that 364,000 that have registered as of this last week, how many of those actually paid for their plans? I mean, it's not a sale. Let's face it. Whether you're a car salesman, whether you're somebody selling at a store, it's never a sale until somebody puts money in your pocket. And unfortunately, very few of those people have actually paid for anything. And as a fact, most of those people who have registered and picked a plan have been kind of shoved off into Medicare and Medicaid. Okay? So that's the problem. All we're getting at this point are people who are signing up and are not contributors. They're people who will be using either because their incomes are low or because they're sick or debilitated or possibly handicapped or something like that. And what Obamacare is relying on are young, healthy people who will pay their payments to help shore up the system. But it's not going to work. And we've heard repeatedly all week long that the young are running away from Obamacare because they're getting into it and seeing that, hey, that's a pretty high premium for that. I'm a fit, healthy person. It's not going to work for me. They're seeing the deductibles that show, well, heck, why am I paying this kind of money, and yet I still have to pay these giant deductibles? So the system, again, designed by idealists, this time on the Democratic side, didn't fully think this through. They think that by having a president like Barack Obama, who's hip and catchy and everyone loves, that this thing was going to play out in the way that they wanted it to. Unfortunately, the real people aren't like that. People are not going to spend more money. Instead, they're just going to opt out. The other big problem here, and you watch how they'll change this, is if you choose to pay the fine, the fee, instead of picking up a health care plan as you're required to, it only gets taken out of your refund. They won't actually send you a bill for that fee or fine. Now, that'll probably get tackled in this next year. They're going to fix that if Obamacare continues, because they're certainly not going to let people get away with something cheap as $95 or 1% of your gross income, or the net income, whatever it is, that 1% fee. For a person making a lot of money, you probably won't see that because they're probably going to eat it and pay it, whatever needs to happen. But the problem is, it's still not the numbers that they're saying it is. The second one, Obamacare has likely increased the number of uninsured. Well, that's a no-brainer. If we've signed up 364,000 people, allegedly, into Obamacare and covered them, let's say 100% of those did not have insurance before. That's a net gain of 364,000. The problem is over 5 million people have now had their policies canceled. Now, out of that 5 million, how many of them will pick something else up? Probably a good percentage of them. But I'm going to bet dollars to donuts that at least 364,000 of those people who lost their coverage will not pick it up, at least in the short term. So you've lost people. Obamacare has done the direct opposite of what people thought it would do. Instead of covering more people, it's covering less people. Now, the third one, Obamacare is primarily enrolling people who are already insured. Okay, that's great. So all those people that did not have coverage and now do have coverage, yeah, maybe. Again, do we have 15 or 20 million people in this country who did not have insurance before, and are they going to get covered by Obamacare? I don't know. The real enrollment number is probably less than 150,000, according to them. What is especially dishonest in today's reporting is the use of the word enrollment. If you do not pay your premium, you are neither insured nor enrolled, and numerous insurance providers are reporting that only 5 to 15% of that number is perfectly in line with the studies. So the last one is Obamacare is hurting millions to help thousands. Well, that's true. We knew that right from the get-go. 85% of the American public were already covered by some form of insurance. The other 15% were using the emergency rooms. But in order to cover the 15% who are really not enrolling anyways, we screwed everything up for the other 85%. Part of what's going on with that is the Obama administration is now pressuring insurers to provide coverage for those people who have signed up and enrolled but have not yet paid. Now, California already said no to this. We're not going to do that. Now, that's the big country, the big state that Obama's counting on. That's the same state where doctors are boycotting Obamacare. But now Obama has to ask the insurers, can you cover these people just because they've signed up even though they haven't paid? Well, how many times in the newspaper business, okay, I can tell you what happens. A lot of times people don't pay. You may not get paid. Services rendered, they're going to go in, they're going to do the same thing, they're going to get coverage, alleged coverage, but the doctors won't get paid. So in the end, the doctors are out once again. Let's move on to something different here that I wanted to cover last week and didn't get around to it. The Chinese issue. I don't know if Drake talked about this last week. I didn't get a chance to talk about it. China recently took, I don't know, Derek, are we going to be able to even get through this?
We're running a little short on time. We got about a minute left.
Okay, we're down to a minute. Anyways, let's start as quick as we can and let people know. Go to thedailydrift.com. There's a story there about China trying to stop a U.S. destroyer that was going through their new self-declared zone, defense zone. So a good story, something to watch. In the meantime, go to thedailydrift.com. Email me, Gary@thedailydrift.com.